Welcome to Missouri Corn Talk, your go-to weekly agriculture podcast delivering fast, reliable updates on market development efforts, ethanol demand, and the issues shaping today's corn industry. I'm your host, David Geiger. As farmers gather at Commodity Classic, one message is clear. Corn growers need demand, and they need it now. With farm margins tight and uncertainty hanging over the market, conversations include two big priorities. That would be year-round E15 and the strong trade agreements that keep corn moving around the world. Joining us today is the Missouri Corn Growers Association Secretary Treasurer, Brandon Teal. He is a corn farmer from Marshall, Missouri. Brandon also serves on the National Corn Growers Association Biofuels Action Team, helping to lead national efforts to expand ethanol markets and protect trade opportunities for growers. Brandon, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me today, David.
And Brandon, farmers from across the country are attending this year's Commodity Classic around this time of year, and that means the mood of corn growers gets to be gauged a little bit. What are we looking at in terms of what I just spoke about, year-round E15, strong trade agreements being kind of a priority? What are you seeing from corn growers?
Well, first, when you think about the mood, I just like to think about Commodity Classic, such a good time for growers to get together. There's a lot of future innovations there at Commodity Classic. So I like to think the mood's optimistic in the farming world, but there is a realistic part of it too. When you mention E15 and our trade agreements that we have, you know, we've got a pile of corn in this country and we've got to get it moved. So E15, that's one of the fastest ways that we can move the needle on getting more corn grind increased and getting more gallons of ethanol out on the road, so more corn bushels used up. And the other thing you mentioned was the exports. You know, we've got a lot of corn from Missouri that goes straight to Mexico, and making sure that USMCA and our trade agreements that we have with countries support the movement of corn into those countries.
With E15 specifically, Congress had advanced a funding bill that did not include year-round E15. What was the initial reaction to that decision, and what are you offering as something to do instead?
The response was rather a bit of frustration from the corn growers groups. And I think we have to paint the picture that we've been asking for this for so long. And you've got to go back several sessions now, but we've had E15 in the CR twice and been stripped out. And the second time it was stripped out, we were asked to form a broader coalition. So National Corn, the ethanol groups, and even petroleum joined in coalition to create a bill that would work for all parties involved. And we did that. And this most recent CR, we still got stripped out and got deferred to a committee, a rural energy committee. We're getting traction on that, and we're as hopeful as we've been because we've got as much spotlight and as attention from it from our D.C. lawmakers in the past. But this was quite a frustration in regards to we did what we were asked to do and we still got left out of the continuing resolution this year.
Brandon, you serve on the National Corn Growers Ethanol Action Team, and I've heard a saying around the legislation that it could be a stair step to the future. Now, that inspires some hope. So what makes you optimistic about this?
We obviously need a higher inclusion rate of ethanol in our vehicles. When you look at the liquid fuel market in the U.S., you know, there's less gallons of gasoline being sold every year, ethanol being a percent of that. So having E15 available to consumers kind of fixes a little bit of the demand that might be waning in the ethanol space. But what we really need is an overhaul of the liquid fuels as a whole. So we need an octane bill. And that bill was at one time called the Next Generation Fuels Act. We've gone to language just calling it an octane bill for simplicity. But what we're targeting in the future is let's get a new standard for our fuel. Right now, our standard octane is pretty low. And when I say Detroit, I'll say Detroit manufacturers, but I mean auto manufacturers. They produce engines to that lower octane standard. But if we have a higher octane standard, which ethanol being the fastest way to increase your octane in your fuel, that would allow Detroit to make engines that are designed for that octane, higher compression engines that you get a lot more fuel economy out of, a lot more performance. And that would be good for corn farmers seeing increased ethanol blends in the gasoline, good for consumers getting a better product on the road that they want to drive. So there's a lot of hope in that future. There's a lot of talks we've had in the past with auto manufacturers with having interest in this. So we think we can create a pretty broad coalition to help push this legislation through. But for right now, E15 is the focus of our current Congress and their makeup. And that's what they want to focus on getting passed for us right now. But as soon as that's through, we're going straight into octane. We're not waiting around for that.
Brandon, let's move into trading, because we talked about domestic demand, which is ethanol, and ethanol can become a international export as well. But a big focus of international exports include the renewal of USMCA, the US-Mexico-Canada agreement. Why is that agreement so critical for Missouri farmers, and why are folks watching that renewal?
As I drive by our local grain elevator, you know, they've got a rail terminal sitting right around it. And you'll see a full rail car come in and get loaded up with corn. And you wonder, where is that going? Well, a couple of places, one out west to some feedlots, but a lot of it, the significant portion of that is going to Mexico. And Mexico is our largest trade partner when it comes to our corn on the export demand side of things. So USMCA has been a great trade deal for corn farmers. We've had access to the Mexican market, and it's just imperative that that deal gets renewed. And if not, that we make sure that corn farmers are still allowed access depending on what happens outside that agreement. So it's something that's definitely on our radar and something we need to keep a close eye on.
Brandon, what's the message then to Missouri corn growers listening today? How can they help move some of these priorities forward, whether it's ethanol or trade?
Well, actually, can I take your question and go somewhere else with that? Because
absolutely,
you know, we're discussing ethanol, we're discussing E15, we're discussing trade. All of that's important, and the easiest thing you can do is contact your congressman. There's easy ways to do that. You go to their website and you send them a message. All of them have those options available. But you know, sometimes we want our lawmakers to act fast, but you see how DC sometimes works. It's a gridlock, but. You know, you're talking about Commodity Classic. We've got that going on right now. And being on the biofuels action team right now, Missouri corn's pretty excited about it, and so is national corn. There's been some research dollars that we've invested with Clemson that now we're seeing an ethanol E98 John Deere tractor on the showroom floor there at Commodity Classic. So, you know, we've been talking a lot about export and a lot about increasing ethanol on the road, but you know, there's more markets out there and we've got to build our markets. So I painted this picture at our winter grower meeting that we had at our shop. Just imagine on a farm and you're ordering your fuel and you're ordering bulk ethanol to your farm, E98, and filling up with 100% ethanol in your tractor. You know, that talk about driving demand and fueling your tractors with your own corn grown on your own farm. That's quite a story there for renewable fuels, for sustainability, and for everything. So John Deere's got that tractor. They're demoing it. So I would ask any farmer out there to talk to their equipment manufacturers and tell them if this is something that they might want, let them know, because we want to produce that as soon as we can.
Joining us is Missouri Corn Growers Association Secretary Treasurer Brandon Teal, a corn farmer from Marshall, Missouri. Thank you so much for joining us, Brandon, and thanks for representing Missouri farmers both here at home and on the national level.
Thanks for having me, David. Good to talk to you.
And that is it for this week's episode of Missouri Corn Talk. This podcast is made possible by the Missouri Corn Merchandising Council and the Missouri Corn Growers Association. To learn more about educational efforts and how Missouri corn is working to strengthen future markets, be sure to subscribe. Visit mocorn.org or follow on our social channels. I'm David Geiger. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week for another Missouri Corn Update.